Malachi chapter 3, if you're over in Revelation or Genesis, you need to go toward the middle. And if you got the book of Jehoshaphat, you need to get to King James. Chapter 3, verse 1, if you have that, say amen. It said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap." I want you to listen very carefully at this phrase right here. "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of gold, of silver." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you. We need you tonight. We need you to help us. We need you to encourage your people. Father, I need the anointing tonight in a great way. I'll give you the glory. Somebody say amen tonight. Hallelujah. Have a seat in Jesus' name. I figured I'd have a title before now. I'm just going to make one up. It's the first time I can't remember ever the top of that line is bare. So I'm just going to preach on silver in the fire. Sound all right to you? Silver in the fire. Who may buy day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Silver in the fire. I was reading today, and I came across an illustration that really stirred my heart and really pointed me in this direction. So if I miss it tonight, it's their fault. And I read about these women had a Bible study, a women's Bible group going on, which I suppose could be good, possibly. If the right women were there, I guess. And this one was a good one. As they were studying, they came across chapter 3 of Malachi and this verse 3. And they more or less read what we read. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And this verse puzzled these ladies. And they wondered what this statement could mean concerning the nature and character of God. And so one of the women offered to study out the subject to find out about the process of refining silver. And next Bible study, they were going to get together and she was going to share her findings. So this lady called up a silversmith and asked if she could come to maybe one of his sessions where he would work the silver, make an appointment with him, and he agreed and he allowed her. And so when she came to him, she didn't mention anything about the Bible, didn't mention anything about Malachi, didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond curiosity of about refining of silver. And so there was no slanted motive, anything of that nature. He was just going to do what he always did. And as she watched the silversmith do his work, he held a piece of silver over the fire, began to heat it up. And he told her a lot of things. He explained to her that in refining silver, one had to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest in order to burn away all the impurities. And that got my attention as I began to read that. And she asked the silversmith, said, is it true that you have to sit at all times in front of that fire until you're done, until the silver is refined and you're finished? Is it true that you have to stay there? And he said, yes. And not only do I have to sit there holding the silver, he said, but I've got to keep my eyes on the silver the entire time it's in the fire. Because if I leave the silver in the fire a moment too long, the silver is destroyed. Y'all hear that? The smith explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest. And I'm reading Malachi 3 and 3 tonight. The Bible said God's the silversmith. And guess who his silver is? It's you and me. It's you and I. And the silversmith didn't say I had to hold it up to the fire. He said, I got to put it in there where the flames are the hottest so I can burn out the impurities. The smith's objective was one. It was simplistic and it was single. He wanted to create the absolute most purest piece of silver that he could possibly create. Now, you got to understand, the smith is a professional, not like me. I mean, I'd be lucky to get in there without my hands getting burned off. This guy knows what he's doing. He's got an eye that's trained for exactly this thing. He knows exactly what he's looking for. He knows how to get the job done. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, a real good silversmith can pick him out a whole lot better than just some Johnny-come-lately silversmith. The better the silversmith you are, the more impurities you can see. Somebody say amen tonight. He that sees into the silver, he knows what he's doing. And if we can say that about some earthly silversmith, what can we say tonight about heaven's silversmith? What can we say about him that sees and knows everything? How about him that can snatch the cover back and see every thought? He can hear every conversation in our minds. He knows the deep, darkest secrets that we harbor within. And I mean, heaven's silversmith is much greater than earth's greatest silversmith. Sister Lamb was moving through the Bible and she came across the passage of Scripture talking about the one particular gentleman that God had placed the gifts upon him to build and to construct and to hew and to make all manners of things. And you know, God has given certain silversmiths a gift in order to do these things. But what can be said about him that gives the gift to these men whose eyes go to and fro throughout the earth and he sees everything? What can we say about this God of ours that knows everything? You say, well, that's terrible, Brother Lamb. He sees everything. Well, I don't see it that way tonight. I mean, you know, when we look at this and we think about it and we say, God sees everything, there must not be any use for me because I've got some flaws. I've got some impurities in me. Sounds like a real bad thing tonight. But if you say that, you haven't heard anything that I've said tonight. You see, this is a necessary part of the silversmith's job. All silver has imperfections in it. The fire has to be applied tonight. The silversmith is not aggravated about holding the silver over the fire because he knows that in the end, he's going to have a precious, pure piece of metal. When he sees imperfections in us, listen to me, saints, it doesn't bother God to hold us over the fire. I don't think he's crying. I don't think he's whining. I don't think he's dreading. I think our Heavenly Father takes pleasure in putting the silver in the flame. I'm going to tell you why tonight. Because in His infinite wisdom, in His awesome knowledge of everything, He knows that in the end, only the pure and
heart are going to see God. It doesn't hurt his feelings at all, because he says, I'm going to hold Clinton Johnson to the flame until I can ensure that I get to spend eternity with my people. No, he doesn't care a bit. You and I are the ones that don't like the fire. But God said, I am a silversmith, and I'm going to hold you over the flame until you're fit to stay with me in heaven forever. Somebody say amen. The fire burns away impurities. When the silver melts into liquid, the smith can skim the top of the silver, and he can throw the impurity away. All the impurities rise to the top. He skims the top, and he keeps on holding the silver to the flames. The longer the flame is on the silver, the more arises to the top. And the more he skims, the more he cleanses. The more he skims, the more he cleanses. This can take a little while. Did you know that? It doesn't always happen overnight. It isn't always just a moment, a lesson that you learn in the morning hours. Sometimes a silversmith works upon us for days. I've had God work upon me for weeks. I've had him teach me lessons over and over and over. I thought I had the test. I thought I'd aced it. But God said, no, here's just part one. I've got a few more parts on this lesson. And then I got the lesson, and he said, well, that's good. I'll give you a C minus. It's time to move on to the next one. You need to do a little better. And I thought the testing was over. The saints of God, the testing is not going to be over until I walk on streets of gold. And so we might as well understand tonight that God loves us. I mean, we don't like the flame. We don't like the heat. And we don't like the loss of comfort. But do you want to be pure tonight? I'm asking you a question. Do you want to stand holy before an almighty God? Well, we ought to pray, Lord, I may not want it in the flesh, but in my spirit, I want to walk holy before you. I want to be righteous before you. I want to be in your presence one day. I want to have some crowns to lay at your feet. And oh God, if you have to put me in the fire, would you put me in the fire? If I won't humble myself, I pray, God, would you humble me? Oh God, if I won't fall on the rock and be broken, I pray the rock falls on me. It'll be a lot worse. I'll be ground to powder. But in the end, I want to hear you say, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. I mean this, so that the things that we're going through, the cares of this life we're dealing with, they will pass. The trials that the enemy brings your way, this too shall pass. But you cannot despise, hallelujah, the chastening of the Lord. Because in the end, he only chastens us because we're not bastards. We're sons and daughters. And he loves us. He doesn't cast away the clay. He will squish the clay. And he will make it another vessel. He'll keep popping the wheel and throw you into spinning where you don't know which way is up and down. But our God, he never gives up. He's a smith that'll skim the impurities. If you'll let him, if you'll let him do it, he'll do it. It isn't hard in the end, but when you're going through it, brothers and sisters, I mean, sometimes we say, oh God, the heat is too hot. And God said, I'll be the one that judges how hot I gotta turn it up. We ought to just say, oh God, I turn the flame up. Just give me strength to endure to the end. Somebody say amen. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's always been God's design to purify his people. Always has been. To put them to the test in order to see what they're made of and what they got down inside of them. I'm glad for that. There were some that proved to be free from impurities. There was some. You walk through the pages of that Bible and you'll find men like Samuel. Now, I'm not saying Samuel never sinned. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Only one that lived from birth to death without sin. That's Christ. All have sinned. They come short of the glory of God. But we don't read about Samuel's sins. We don't read about Joseph's sins, really. Well, what we see is men that overcame. Men that were tried. Men that were placed in the flame. And yet they came out on the other side. They didn't die in the fire. They did not die in the fire. We see men like the three Hebrew boys who were placed in a fiery furnace. And I'm telling you, that silver, brothers and sisters, when it came out on the other side, there's people saying there is a God in heaven. I mean, they went through the flame, but instead of dying in the fire, a God sent his son, and he walked in a flame with him. And in the end, men said, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, their God is the God. I mean, didn't God put Daniel in a den of lions? I mean, with hungry, a vicious, roaring, biting lions. And Daniel walked through there, and in the morning they rolled the stone back, and the silver was pure. Amen. I said the silver was pure. We've got to understand that if we're going to get anywhere in God, we may get thrown in a pit. We may be betrayed in Potiphar's house. They may false accuse us and put us in a prison. But in the end, we're going to go from the pit to the palace. I said from the pit to the palace. I'm talking to some silver that's in the fire tonight. I'm talking to some silver that's in the fire tonight. There was these women as they sat, this woman, one woman as she sat watching, as she sat listening to the smith talk and do what he was doing, she thought about God holding us in a hot spot. How many here tonight's ever been in a hot spot? I ain't talking about wireless internet neither. I'm talking about being in a hot spot where you don't know which way's which. And you're saying, God, would you send a little relief? And you go to God again in prayer and say, Lord, when's this going to end? Brother Jason, I prayed that so many times I couldn't count. Or I've buried my head underneath a table. Or I've crawled up in a closet. Or I've hunkered down under the piano here. And I said, God, I need you to come and give me some relief. And he never told me when. But I can tell you right now, I'm still here. And the enemy is raised. And he's lied. And he's false accused. I'm still preaching the gospel. And you're still doing what you're doing. The fire is our friend. I said the fire's our friend. After a little while, after you suffer a little while, after you suffer a little while, God is going to lift you up again. Amen, amen. She said she thought about how God sometimes held us in hot spots. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner, as a purifier of silver. I want you to hear me tonight. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Alright? He did tempt Abraham. I'll just give you a quick little lesson. This does not mean that God tempted Abraham with evil. We know that God tempteth no man with evil, neither is he tempted by evil. But this word tempt means to test. He said, all right, Abraham, it's time to go through a little test. 101 in faith and obedience. And this was the test. I mean, it was a little test. It wasn't a big one. But I mean, you know, it wasn't a real big test. All it was this. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Not a real big test. I mean, just take your only son upon an altar and drive a dagger down in his heart and kill him up there on Mount Moriah and come home and tell your wife, I just murdered my son. You know what Abraham did? He said, come on, boy, we're going to the mountain and we're going to do a little worshiping. Amen. And he got his stick and he got his knife. And I guarantee you, Abraham sharpened that knife. And he said, God, I don't understand this. This is out of your character. You don't ever put your hand up on this kind of stuff. But God, I know you said it, and I'll do anything. And God gave him a passing grade. And now we call him Father Abraham, the father of faith, because God tested him, and it came out on the other side as pure silver. Amen. Probably wasn't pleasant for Abraham, but I guarantee you he was skipping and whistling all the way down that mountain. And he said, Lord, I'm glad I obeyed. Somebody shout amen. Lord, I'm glad I obeyed. Now, I don't know, but Brother Johnson, there is a possibility. Had Abraham not lifted that dagger, God might have. Somebody say amen. David. Didn't God take David's boy? Took his boy from Bathsheba, slew that child. Is there a possibility, had not Abraham lifted the dagger, would have God lifted the dagger? It's possible. I don't know that, but I'm telling you, Abraham, he lifted that thing and he did what he knew was going to break his heart, but he came out on the other side. And then we have passages of scripture like Matthew 4 and 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now what do you think about that? For 40 days, tempted of the devil. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Tested, and in the end, he said, it is finished. And the Bible said, after all that was said and done, that in the end he died without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish. Now let me ask you something. If God the Father had put Jesus in the fire, do you think you're any better? I said, if God had put Jesus in the fire, do you think you're any better? You might as well get ready, because we're going to be in the same flames that our Lord and Savior was in. We just better come out the other side the same way he did. There were other people that went into the fire, were tempted, and they proved to have impurities. Take for the example the Apostle Peter. Let's look at Peter tonight. Matthew 26:34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You're going to be tested, Simon. You're going to be put to the fire, and you are going to find that you're not who you think you are. Oh, Simon was bragging, I'll never leave you. I'll go with you always. I'll die for you. I'll die with you. I'll lay my life down. Jesus rebuked him and said, you're going to deny me three times before the morning comes. And Simon said, nay, never, not I. Well, God took old Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, the water walking Peter, the one that everybody thought was powerful in God, and he was. Devil casting out, laying hands on the sick, a shadow passing over people, Peter. I'm telling you, when the fire got a little hot, he started cursing, he started lying, he started denying, but in the end, we find him in a field, and he's weeping bitterly. Do you know what happened? God stepped in, and he skimmed the top, and he said, I knew it was there. I'm praying for you, it's your faith. Tell you not, but I'm pulling out everything that's not of me. And who was it on the day of Pentecost that God put his Holy Ghost in and gave him that chapter 2 message? 3,000 saved. I'm telling you, saints of God, let God purge you tonight. Let him purge you. We find in Acts 15:37-38, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, it don't say that John Mark was in the flame, but when you study John Mark and see who he was afterward and see who he was before, this was a good guy. This was a good man. We sometimes we preach, we give him a real hard time, but John Mark, he'd walked away from everything. He left his family, left his everything else, his friends, his occupation. And for some reason, he got out there with Paul. And I don't know why, but he decided it's time to go back. You know what happened, don't you? John Mark had got out there with the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was born in the fire and never came out of the fire. And John Mark, he probably was as a man of God. But when he got thrown in the same flames that Paul was in, some stuff started rising to the top. But listen, God didn't throw John Mark away. I said, God didn't throw John Mark away. All he did was skim the impurities off for a little while. I read in the end that Paul said, only Luke is with me, but take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me to ministry. What God did was he took John Mark out of the picture and he skimmed him up and sent him back. And the next thing you know, we're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, because God loves to put the silver through the fire.
Amen. The fire will help you if you'll let it. You can't fight against the hands of the smith, though. If you refuse his will in your life, you may end up being cast to the side. The fire is good for us. I said the fire is good for us, saints of God, whether you like it, whether I like it, no matter who likes it. If you're a true blue born-again child of God, you're going to say, Lord, I don't like it, but give it to me anyway. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. I mean, I don't want this. I don't like this. I'm going to cry. I'm going to shed some tears. I'm going to feel like I'm a sitting duck. I told Sister Lamb, I said, I feel like a sitting duck. She said, you are. I said, praise the Lord for that great encouraging words. He said, what are they supposed to tell you? Well, I said, just lie to me, baby. That's the way we act sometimes, ain't it? Just lie to me. Tell me things are not going to be bad. Tell me we're not going to go through some things. Well, Brother Lamb didn't come to tell you that you're going to have a Cadillac full of $100 bills. I come to tell you that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. Say amen. He'll deliver us out of them all. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:12, this is one of mine and Brother Jason's favorite scriptures, and if it ain't, it is now. It's your favorite scripture now. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now we're talking about a man who's walked on water. We're talking about a man who's laid hands on the sick, and when he wrote this epistle, he was a man that they laid him out in the streets so his shadow would pass over him. We're talking about a man that was doing real good down there, and the Apostle Paul came down and said, you're a hypocrite, Peter. I mean, a man that's been rebuked. You can read it for yourself in Galatians chapter 2. I mean, Peter was big buddies with the Gentiles. Everything was going great, but when the Jews came down, he left his Gentile buddies and started hanging out with his Jew buddies again, and the Apostle Paul nailed him. He said, what you're doing ain't right. Jesus was good for him when we wasn't around, and so we find a man writing an epistle who's been there and been back. He's been in the flames. He's cursed. He's lied. He's denied. He's done good. He's done bad. He's seen it all, and he looked at you and me, and he looked at the silver that's here tonight, and he says, brethren, account it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. You know what Peter was saying? I know it's hard, but somebody else has already been there, and we came out, and you'll come out. The devil didn't kill me, and he ain't gonna kill you. You gotta keep on keeping on. Keep on pressing on like silver in the fire. Boy, let's keep moving. I want to warn you tonight. The purer the silver, hotter the flame. The whiter the garment, the harder the washing. Amen. This sounds bad, but in the end, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. The lady asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of that fire. Can't leave the silver. And he said, yes. Not only do I have to sit there holding the silver, but I have to keep my eyes on the silver the entire time it's in the fire. Smith said, if the fire was left, the silver was left in the fire even a moment too long, it would be destroyed. Just a moment. Now, I don't know what that does to you guys, but when I read that, and it's in our text tonight in Malachi 3:3, the Bible said, "And he shall sit as a refiner, as a purifier of silver." What does that mean, he shall sit? Well, I think it's very important that our silversmith sits. He sits with patient love, unflinching justice. He doesn't pity the silver because impurities keep popping up and he keeps having to hold it to the flame. He doesn't cry. He doesn't whine. He doesn't say, "I can't do it anymore." He holds it there patiently, but he never gets up and walks away. He never walks away from you. He never turns his back because God knows just how much you can take. I said, God knows just how much you can take. And when it's time, he will snatch you out of that fire and make you what you're supposed to be. Amen. Second thing that I see here is the silver is in the hands of the smith. That's what the silversmith said. He said, "Not only is the silver in my hands, but I can't keep my eyes, it's in my hands." Now I read today, and I've read this many times, but it just jumped out to me. John chapter 10, 28 and 29, two verses back to back. And I want you to see if you can notice what I saw today concerning in the hands of the smith. Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Now, I don't know about you saints, but verse 28, he said, nobody can pluck them out of my hands. In verse 29, he said, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hands. Could it be that we're in the hand of Christ, and the hand of Christ is in the hand of the Father? Do you understand what that means? If the enemy gets to you, he's got to go to the hand of God, and he's got to go to the hand of Christ. And as sure as I'm here tonight, ain't no devil, no group of devils, no weapon, no enemy, there's nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. And so if you're in the hand of the Master tonight, you ought to just kick back and say, "Thank God, I've got some rest. The enemy can't get to me. Even if I'm in the frame, I am in the hand of the silversmith tonight." Lift your hands and give God some glory. We ought to worship Him tonight. My God. He patiently sits in front of the fire. Why? Because we never leave His hands. He keeps us in His hands at all times. This is funny. If Satan is to snatch me away, he got to pull open the hand of the Trinity. I said, if the enemy snatches me away, Sister Grace, he's got to pull the fingers of God. Oh, my God. You know the possibility of that, don't you? My God, number three, the watchful eye of the smith. The watchful eye of the smith said, "I got to keep my eyes on the flame and on the silver at all times. I can't turn my head. I can't get distracted. I can't be thinking about anything else." I'm talking about our silversmith tonight. And it made me think about Psalms 34 and 15. That scripture, you know, the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries." That lets me know that wherever I'm at, the eyes of the Lord are on me. And if you're in the flame tonight, I don't want you to be upset. If you're out on the water somewhere tonight with a Johnson in the boat, it's going down. I want you to go to the book of Mark, and I want you to see that Jesus is on a mountaintop, and He's got His eyes on the storm. He's got His eyes on the ship. He's got His eyes on the silver. And before you go down, He'll ride a wave down to your house and reach down and pull you out of the water. He's not letting you go down. If you want to go up, He'll lift you up. If He's got to lift the world up, He'll get you up. And
we're talking about a Smith tonight that's got his eyes on you.
You better get in here. I'm almost done. The Smith said the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames. He said it would be destroyed. God doesn't leave us in the fire. I said God doesn't leave us in the fire. Bible said in Psalms 30:5, for His anger endureth but for a moment, and in His favor is life. And one of my most favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Bible, by the psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What's that mean? It means there's going to be times that all through the night you're going to toss and turn. There's going to be days when you feel nobody cares, nobody loves you, everything's falling apart. But David said, I've been there, and I promise you that the night may be long, and the night may be hard, but early in the morning, weeping's got to go, and joy is coming to your house alone. Just a little while longer, God is going to snatch you out of the flame. Amen.
We need to thank God for the flames. It reveals to God our love for Him. It reveals His love to us. It reveals what's in us. It tells us what's in us. I told you about that national forest, somewhere over in the Dakota area. Massive, massive sequoias. I mean, some of them was almost as big as this church. Drive cars through them. And a horrible storm came. And it knocked hundreds of them over. And when they got out the next morning and began to survey the damage, they realized the inside of those trees had been rotted out for years and years and years. Oh, but it took a little bit of a storm to show them what the trees were made of. I'd like to be like the old palm tree when the wind blows. I may bend. I may even touch the ground. But when the storm is over, I'm popping back up. And I'm going to keep moving. And the winds blow, I'm popping back up. I may be down, but I'm not out. I will get up. Because God has got me in His hand.
You know what I'd like tonight? I'd like for you to be encouraged. We're going to go through the flame, but all God's people do. All healthy churches go through the flames. We're going to have some come and some stay. We're going to have some come and they're going to hit that back door and never come back. Are you hearing me? I want to be one of those that stays. I want to be one of those that no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter what the enemy tries, that I pop back in here over and over again. I may not shout. I may not be speaking in tongues. I may not be rolling in the floor. But I'll tell you this much, devil. I will get my hand up and I will say, blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. I may be going through it now, but my God told me, weeping may endure for a night, but there's coming a morning. I'm going to get up and the sun is going to be shining again.
I'm sure that Job thought the trial he was in was never going to end. Would y'all agree with me? I don't know. But real quick, it was so bad. He prayed and told God, I wish I'd never been born. Yeah, he did. He said, even if he slayed, this was on his mind, his heart. I'm not coming out of this. I will die in the wilderness. But you know what God said about Job? He said, this is a man that fears me. He hates evil. A man that fears God and escheweth evil. Won't you get a hold of him? God said, I'm going to put him through the fire. And he wasn't talking to you or me. He wasn't talking to the backbiter of the tail, but he was talking to Satan. And he said, I'm going to let you do, old devil.
I'm going to let you take Job, and I'm going to let you put him in the hottest furnace you can put him in. And he put him in, and God said, well, we're going to put some restrictions. You can't touch him. Well, the fire didn't stop him, and the enemy came back again. He said, I tried to put him in the flame, but he won't burn. And God said, well, let's turn it up a little higher, and you can touch him, but you can't have his life. Let me tell you something. In Job chapter 42, he had twice as much as he had. He had double for his trouble. And he said, if my God can hold on to me, I can hold on to him. You got to hold on tonight.
Amen. Oh, it all reminds me, I'm done. I got one more point. But it all reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Boy, I've used this on the devil many times. I said, it is written, there hath no temptation taken me, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful. Somebody say faithful. I said, God is faithful. I said, the silversmith, he is faithful, who will not suffer us. He will not suffer you, me. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He said, I'm going to put you in the fire, but I've got you in my hand. I've got you in my eye. I'm sitting at the flame. And when it gets too much, he said, I will with the temptation. I will with the fire make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I'll not let the fire consume you. But in the end, you're going to be a better Christian. You're going to be a better man, a better husband, a better wife. But you got to stay in the flame. I'm done. One more point. After the smith told her about the danger of leaving the silver in the fire too long, the woman was silent. And then she asked this question. How do you know when the silver's been in the fire long enough? And he smiled. He said, that's easy. He said, because when I can see my reflection in the silver. My God. He said, when I can see my reflection in the silver, I know I'm done. Oh, God. Stand across the house. When I can see my reflection in the silver, I know I'm done. And so if you're here tonight and you're feeling the heat of the flame, remember that you're in God's hand. You're in His eye. And He's holding on to you. And He's not going to quit until you look like Jesus. I said He's not going to quit until you look like the bright immortal star. Somebody shout amen. Let's worship the Lord. I got nothing left. Oh God. Hot, and it's been hot for a long time. And the devil said, the Lord has forsaken you. But God said, tonight I ain't forsaken them. I've got them in my hand. They're in the flame, and that's all they see right now. But it's not about whether they can see me. It's the fact that I can see them.
If I have to look through a storm, I can see them. If I have to look through fire, I can see them. Though the floods arise, I'll see them. If the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise a standard up against him. The enemy can only do so much to you, and then it's him and God. Are you hearing me? The only thing that the enemy can do to you is cause you to be pure and more undefiled and more like Jesus. You gotta hold on. You gotta hold on. You gotta keep on keeping on. The fire is God's way of purifying the church. Oh, can it not change concerning the fiery trial, which is a trial? Oh, Jesus has been there. The apostles have been there. I can go through it too. I just gotta hold on to Jesus, and I know He'll hold on to me.
Silver in the fire. Silver in the fire. Holy Ghost. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times the trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustrations get so out of hand. Listen, church. Then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. Oh, God. The enemy, the spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire. My weakness is made strong. Oh, He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. I'll always show up. And He will take you through the fire again. Oh, He'll take you through the fire again. And I know within myself that I would surely perish. But if I trust the hand of God, He'll shield the flame again. Oh, my God, He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. I just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. Oh, yea, though I walk through. Yea, though I walk through. Oh, I'm not going to get stuck out in the middle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no weapon. I will fear no lie. I will fear no person. I will fear no debt. I will fear no demon. I will not fear fear. I will not fear faith, a lack of faith. I will not fear unbelief. But God is going to be with me while I walk through. I will not stop. I've got to pick a foot up. God's going to help me put it down. I've got to keep moving. I can't stop now. God knows when to pull me out of the flame. God knows when to subside the fire. God knows how hard it's got to be. God knows what I can handle, what I can't handle. And He said when it gets too hot, He's got a way for me to escape.
He said, when the flames get too high, He's got a place for me to hide. He said, when the flames get too hot, He'll put me in His hand. He'll shield the flame again. I cannot go down. I cannot die. I shall not die, but live. I shall live because Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, the storm has come. But the Bible said, in the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I got a place to hide. Come on, enemy. You can do your best against me, but I'm not alone. I've got the Father. I've got the Son. I've got the Holy Ghost with me. And if they can't help me, I can't be helped. But the facts of it all, God said, I will help you. We got a king tonight that's got power over all the power of the enemy. Saints of God, hold on. You can make it through the fire.